Hello.
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 How are you, Charlotte?
I'm good.
Hi, Philip. Welcome.
Hi.
We'll give. I guess I'm technically a minute early. We'll give people a few minutes to join us. I'll drop the notes in the chat.
It's really nice to see we have several technicians here today. Jeremy and Nils Erik from Index Data is here too.
It is nice. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello, good morning. Or afternoon.
Morning. Hi, Jen.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to copy the notes into the chat one more time, and then we can get started. I'm going to try to take notes today as well. We'll see how it goes. There are a few things on our list that I just wanted to check in on. Thank you, Charlotte, for creating the LOD SIG calendar. So I've tried to update it to some extent. What I did primarily was fix the dates so that they reflect our meeting dates, which I think is important. And then I started populating it with the topics that I knew we had, which really is only what we're meeting about today. But maybe after today, I'll get a sense for where we want to go in the next few months. But please do feel free to use and reference this. I also believe it's linked here in the side. Oh no, I saw it somewhere. Okay, maybe not. I could have sworn I saw it on the side here. I'll try to add it to our quick menu so people can access it. Any questions or thoughts about the calendar?
It looks
Okay.
good.
Okay, great. Thank you for doing that. And the other topic I wanted to check in on is the settings spreadsheet. So there has been a lot of work in this document, which is great. There were some outstanding questions, some that I had, some that Tiziana had. We don't have any data filled in for Marva, so I'm not sure if it makes sense for us to reach out to someone from LC to see if there are plans to use this feature if it exists. But one question I had was about the API. So it says API key for search and connect to graph information. And I think there are questions about what information is really needed here.
So what about that? I reach out to Alvaro and then we put it on the agenda. And if Alvaro is able to attend next week, so I guess we have a meeting on the 17th, then we can. I must admit, I have also not, I did see all your updates, and but I have not had look at each of the information in the cells. But I also agree we should reach out to someone from Library of Congress and get input from them.
Okay, great. Yeah, we have for Blue Core, there's kind of a tricky situation where we have two editor options. So this one-to-one, we could make two separate configuration settings, one for Blue Core Marva, one for Blue Core Synopia. That was another thing I had on my list. But that sounds like a great plan to have Alvaro walk us through this and talk a little bit more
Yeah,
about.
or I can maybe work with him because
Okay.
I think he would do the UX
Okay.
proposal, but it's the tickets I have written up,
Right.
he and I we need to be aligned a little bit.
Okay.
So
Great.
let me see if I can. So now it's Friday afternoon my time, so it. Yeah, it's there's a little short window, but I'll write to him today and then see
Okay.
if we can get
Great.
something worked
Thank
out.
you. Yeah, that sounds great.
But I did notice that none of you had added any screen dumps. So if you see the tabs below, there was you could add some screen dumps from your environment, but.
Are these images of the UI, or what are you looking for a screen dump? I'm not sure what that term
Yeah,
means.
yeah. How would it look when you say view, and how would it look when you say edit? And if you could
Okay.
paste, so it's also possible to see the URL in the top.
Okay.
Yeah, that if.
Yeah, sure. Let me add a note. Okay, great. Yeah, that should be quick to add those images. One in view, edit, and show URL. Great. Any other housekeeping items, updates?
Hey.
Hi. Welcome, welcome. Okay. So we have two main topics. This one I think will be quick, and then we'll hear from Charlotte and Eric about importing inventory instances, which we're all very, very excited for. So I just wanted to take a look at this document, which is not very filled out, and I don't know what to make of it. Either that means this is not that high of a priority, or we're still thinking about it. And good morning, Nancy. I did fill it in, continue filling it in for Stanford, but I have to check with Nancy and Jeremy that these are actually correct priority rankings. But I just wanted to remind everyone that it's here. I can continue to put it on our agenda and we can keep checking in on it. Also, if I've missed any fields that you think a URI would benefit from being added to inventory, we can do that. I don't necessarily know if this is a complete list. I think I just listed the things that came to me first and while looking at inventory. So again, this was to add more URIs to the inventory instance besides the instance source URI, which is now available in Sunflower CSP4. Very excited we have it in our test environment at Stanford. But there was this discussion about some libraries perhaps wanting more URIs. So if you have time between this meeting and the next meeting, maybe take a look at this and we can come back to it either next time we meet or in March. Sound good?
Yeah, so I wonder, I can see that Stanford and Tichana and Middle Tennessee State High has filled in. Is there so, but maybe we should send a, yeah, we need some more input, maybe from yeah, Andreas for Libris.
Okay. And I'm not sure if Lehigh is interested in this or if they would fall under the Share VDE priorities.
Probably, probably.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, great. So I will go ahead and stop sharing. And Charlotte and Eric, if you'd like to take over, thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
We can do that. Yes. So I will run through a presentation. This presentation is, let's see, just one sec. Is more or less reuse of the presentation we gave for the PC Thursday last week, but with some new. I hope to get the inventory import app to up and running in our dev and test side, so I can show you some live stuff as well. And Nils is here, and he can. So let me see. And he is here to help answer any technical questions. Yes. So, very quick about the background, development status, the PC and TC approval, and a demo. So, this is work we have done together with GPV. GPV has a union catalog, CBS, and they have for years now have this workflow, and all which is marked in black, that's outside of Folio. They have their union catalog. They use index data's legacy harvester for pulling out records and updates and populated into Folio using mod inventory update as the receiving module, which can populate into inventory storage. That workflow we enhanced with a module which were a Folio lookalike module, but because it was based on that the whole workflow had this harvester component, it's not a true Folio module. So that's why it is living on this little border here between Folio and not being Folio. I have put in the links to the GitHub documentation for the modules in use here. And what we have worked on in all 2025 and a bit into 2026 is, you know, getting the harvester component out of the, you know, the this workflow. So a lot of work has been put in. So that means that we only have now for GPV and all the German library networks using this workflow, the union catalog, and then we mod inventory update has been heavily enhanced to now also do all the work the harvester did, not with all full functionality as in the harvester, because the harvester was kind of a very large component for the very reduced use GPV had of it. So, but mod inventory update is simply taking over that piece and is populating records into inventory storage. And then we now have got the PC's improvement of the UI tool, the inventory import admin tool on top of mod inventory update. Now it is going to be all included into as true folio modules. Again, I put in the GitHub documentation. So what have we been working on for this work? It has been three UX bot tickets, and we still have a little work left in the big backend feature, and the frontend work we are also in full progress on. So, and that's why I am able to actually demo work for you today. The TC did review the mod inventory update as a folio module, and it's a vertex module. Let's see, did I jump too fast? No, I did not. So here I have put in a link to a technical description. Let me see, it's this document, which Nils has written up, and this might be interesting for you to go into a bit more in detail. I don't know if there's anything you want to say here now, or Nils?
About this document?
Yeah,
no.
And
Is it time to talk about the technical implementation now, or do you want to do
you can do that, yes.
A demo?
5 minutes maybe.
Okay. So what we extended mod inventory update with was importing APIs, and so far those importing APIs can take XML input and through a XSLT transformation pipeline that is customizable, that the users provide, it can be transformed into the format we know for inventory storage. So, you know, instances, holdings, and items. And then be converted to JSON and put updated into inventory storage in all the right orders, or updated or inserted, whether it's new records or existing records. So the idea is that we can take other formats. It could be a different XML format, or it could be JSON. We already made a small proof of concept showing that we could import the binary mark to this as well. It's not something we implemented, just something we toyed with to show that it can be done without too much trouble. So, regardless of what format you import through this, I don't know if you can see the path that we have here. Yeah, there under the post, we have an inventory import. That's the base path, and then channel ID, we call them channels, these different ways of importing, and then an upload, and then you upload your file by posting it to this channel, and it's put in a queue. And then the sort of the core of it, no matter what format you import here, is those management APIs where you configure how you want your input data, which can be sort of arbitrary XML records in batched in into collections, and you can then run your imports through these APIs. You can monitor the progress. So you will see some example of this in Charlotte's demo. There's logging, and it counts how many records and how fast and stuff like that. And it will also, if there is a problem with the record, like it record is missing some mandatory property, or there are duplicate barcodes which some system will allow but not inventory storage and things like that, then it will be pushed out into a failed record that you can then go and inspect, maybe re-trigger that particular record in GBV's case from their source of truth, which is their CBS system. And then after fixing the problem, then, for instance, making the barcode unique, it will trigger a new update, and things should be good from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then I will jump back to the slides again. So, yeah. Nils did mention that this is a format agnostic solution, and also that this can handle large records, and I will show you that as well. And we have tested with Mark 21 records as a proof of concept, and also I know that Tijana and her team has used Mod Inventory Update for their, push of records from shared VDE into folio inventory. So that's why it is interesting in our context to look at this tool and see if it actually can be fitted into each of your different systems. Yesterday that was... I've also been showing this for Index Data's team. So, I have shared with you Felix Hemme's demo, which he presented at the PC. But today we are going to do and share it with you. And if you have not watched it, then you can watch it after this meeting. But today I'm going to show for you inventory import. So inventory import is, you can say, folio improved version of what GBV has used for years, the Harvester admin. But that was living outside of folio, right? So, but now we are moving into the folio surroundings. So, and I've put in some slides here, but I am, fingers crossed, trying to jump and do a live demo for you instead. But these slides will also be available for you in the slide deck. So let me go in here, and I'm going to start in settings. And here you can see we have inventory import in this development and test environment we are using together with GBV. You can see we have also the Harvester admin app, because for libraries who are using Mod Inventory Update in their own way, they might still want to use the Harvester admin. But for GBV and the German library networks, and hopefully others, when we are rolling the inventory import app out for Trillium, That will probably be the main UI module you want to use. But inventory import, here you can set up your transformation pipelines. And for the Pika to Folio, so the GBV transformation steps, these are defined as these five steps here. These five pipelines, sorry. And then you can also define your transformation steps as Nels also mentioned. And here, I think I looked at this one. It is the name, the description, the type, and then you can you load in your the XML script you are to use, and you can do edits in this if you want to do that. But as Felix also mentioned in the demo at the PC, you probably want to edit your XML file here in XSLT file here in a normal editor. But it has some small, if I do if there is a mistake or something, it will verify if you see the very button here, if it is a valid XML or in this case invalid because I fiddled with the little symbol here. And you can also define your logs. How long do you want to have your logs kept in the system? And in this case, it is defined you want to that GBV wants to keep the logs for 2 weeks. So, but you can set it to days or months if that is what you want. And then let's go to the app. And we start here with the channels. You can. Here we have imported some test data. Right now, there's an issue with if I click on last log. So there's an error message we need to work on here. But you have your different channels set up here. And if I go and look into the jobs, here you can see that we have pulled in rather large files. Here it is 1.4 million records in a load. And in this one, it is the job is just 2,000. And in this case, you get the log information. You can see what transformation pipeline was used, and you see this is was in the channel Minerva 5 samples. And if we take a look at the failed records, then I need to go a little back here to get some failed records. Typically, it is these, as Nell said, duplicate barcodes in GBV's case. But if you go in and click on one of them, then this is the information you get about why was this record pulled out as a failed record. And then that's information which makes it possible for the system librarians to investigate and figure out what was wrong here. And your sharp eye, Nils, might be able to see here what is why is this a failed record?
Because it's missing mandatory property. We can't see right now which one, but maybe if we open parameters, up, up, up. Up. No,
Parameters.
down, down, down. It's a property in errors. Under errors, there's a property called parameters. That's the one, yeah. This one. Oh, that one. And open that object. So we have the series array, and all elements must have a value, but one of them didn't. And what happens then is that it will try to update as much as it can, but in this case, it's a problem with the instance. So if this was a new create, then it cannot create the instance, and that means it can also can't create the holdings and items. If it was an update, then and if that instance had holdings and items, it would be able to update the holdings and items, and then you had to fix the problem with the instance, that series value, and run it again, and then the instance is updated as well.
Thank you. Yes, let me. So that's kind of what it is, the UI here. Let me go back again, then I will go quickly over all these. And we are at the end of this, and we can, yeah. Questions or anything you want to see more, or
Thanks, Charlotte. I had a question in the settings where you had the steps. There was a section for type. XSLT.
Is that
Yeah. Can you click on that drop down for me so I can see what the other types are? Oh, okay, so that's the only type.
That's the only thing we have now. In
Okay.
we suspect there might be a need for a JSON transformation type at some point where you have put in some sort of like JavaScript or something like that to transform JSON if your source records are JSON.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So right now you can say this is tailored to the need GPV has, but you know we it the whole idea is that this is a generic solution and we can expand it. So it can be expanded to whatever format we would like to get in. And receive data and pushed into inventory storage.
What CBS has is Pika XML, which will look familiar to people who are used to Mark XML. It's sort of the same thing with fields and subfields and all that.
Other questions?
I had a question, I guess, about workflow, maybe. So when GBV is bringing things in this way,
See
are
if
they
any.
just bringing in, so they can bring in holdings and items? So like in data import, where we're bringing in Mark, one of the things we have is like logic about matching or deduplication and this kind of thing. So is that not part of these workflows? Are they typically just bringing in files where they know they just like everything is just creating, or is some of it updating? Like, how, what kind of
It's
workflows are
both.
they implementing? Okay.
It's both creating and updating.
So how does the updating work?
So everything is based on GPV, knowing the unique IDs of their instances and their holdings and their items. So everything, all record types has a unique ID, and they populate that via the style sheet transformation. They target the HRID field on instances, holdings, and items, and then put those identifiers into those unique fields in inventory storage. And then when they come in with the same record again, mod inventory update will detect that we already got this, because it will look up all the records by HRID, and then it will say, oh, this is a insert, this is an update. So we call it, people often use the term upsert, which is sort of a combination. It means that you don't have to worry if it's about whether it's an insert or an update. Mod inventory update will figure it out, but you do need a unique identifier for all your record types.
So are they, again, like I'm not familiar with their workflows. So if they have some records they want to load, does that mean they're doing a pre-process to put those
No.
HRIDs into the file?
No. For them, it's the same, exactly the same workflow, whether it's an insert or an update. Because
so are they using identifiers from the
CBS? Yeah.
I see. Okay. Okay.
So
it would be
you
like
have a PPN number.
Yeah.
Yes. Have a PPN number that is a unique record ID in your CBS catalog, and that unique identifier is identical with the human readable ID in Folio. And the same solution is actually also what National Lab of Sweden is going to use. So, and now you, if you abstract a little bit, they have the Libris Union catalog, and they catalog into Libris. And then the Libris ID number is in all National Lab of Sweden's bibliographic records, then this, the and there is a matching Libris record, it will have the Libris ID number as the human readable ID.
Got it. Does that mean they only get one? Sorry.
We can look at the how they set the HRID if you want to go to the step, Sharma. Step, yeah, that's the one. Make that big bottom one larger.
Yeah.
There you go. It's the HRID. And a bit up, this is a delete record, but never mind, or delete logic, but so where
that makes, thank you, that was super helpful.
Yeah,
thanks.
And this style sheet you would use whether you want to insert or update. You don't have to think about it really as the operator. You use the same style sheet, and inventory update will make those decision on your behalf.
But you can say, Jen, that the difference between data import, where you have all these different jobs and job profiles, and in order to receive from one vendor, my records look like this, from another vendor, it looks like that, et cetera, that's, this is kind of it's much more streamlined, because it is going from the union catalog into Folio inventory storage. Or in this group's case, it can go from your BibFrame editor you have chosen to use, and then you simply just need mod inventory update and to push your data into Folio inventory. And using the inventory import UI module, you can monitor that your jobs is behaving like you would like to.
Charlotte, I'm not sure if you, as the presenter, can see that Jeremy has his hand up, but he does.
No, I can't see anything. So
Okay.
sorry about that. Please jump in, Jeremy.
So looking at the XSLT, when you're running those transformations, I assume it's not directly JSON. It's somehow in the mod inventory. It's transforming the output of that. I guess sort of the context is, if I'm sort of trying to develop these XSLT scripts, what if I'm running it sort of outside of Folio initially, what are the outputs of running those XSLTs? Is it just like a
The output is an XML structure that will have all the that will look like an inventory record, an instance, for
okay.
instance, with all the usual property but defined as XML elements. And then there will be a XML to JSON conversion kicking in, that will then convert it to an internal format that the mod inventory update has been using for quite some time. That format is documented in the API documentation for inventory update, because it has been around for a long time. But it's In mod inventory update, it is called an inventory record set, and it's basically an instance, and then it's an array of holdings where each holding has an array of items. And then there are some extra elements containing or properties containing relationships to other instances, preceding, succeeding titles, and all that. So that's the format you want to hit with your style sheets. So transform them into XML, and then this conversion to JSON happens for you afterwards.
Okay.
And if you are when you're working with this, as Charlotte said, it's probably very beneficial to work at that XSLT outside in a real editor with the syntax checks and everything, and then you can put it into the pipeline. You can upload it via the API, or you can cut and paste it into this UI. I always upload it to the API as a developer. But and then there is a sort of a try API where you can see run these five style sheets for me and tell me what the output in XML and what is the output in JSON. And does that JSON look right? Is that what the is that the is that an inventory JSON instance JSON, for instance? And then of course you can run a test of it. But that's you when you do your XSLT, you wanna hit that format that is documented for inventory update. I don't
Thank
know
you.
if that makes
Yeah.
sense.
All my experience with the XSLT has always been between XML and XML. So I guess the sort of the internal from XML to JSON is internal. So, okay. Yeah.
If you're used to XSLT transformation and XML, then you probably also know that there are some difficulties in especially in how do you handle arrays, because a single element in XML can be targeting what is an array of one element in JSON. So there are some special magic element names that you use in the XSLT, but you can take a look at the XSLT and see or at the documentation for mod inventory update. But you have to say, even though I only have one contributor, you should know this is a way of one contributor. You have to make that clear. So in comparison with the data import and the configuration you have here, which is sort of targeting librarians with no particular programming skills, but with Mark skills, of course, then in this case, you need XSLT skills. But if you're dealing with Mark, for instance, there are a lot of people that already did XSLT transforming Mark. So you have a lot to go by.
And here, you know much more, Jeremy, than I do on this. But there is already crosswalks here for BibFrame conversions.
Yeah, for sure. Familiar with all this.
yeah, I know you are, and
yeah. So Charlotte, so with that, you would convert the BibFrame to Mark XML with some of those BibFrame to Mark.
Yeah,
it says so. Yeah, BibFrame 2 to Mark XML. Once it's in Mark XML, then there are plenty of. We have plenty of styles that will take the Mark XML and convert it to inventory XML or whatever you will call it. So you can set up that pipeline.
Christine has her hand up.
Thank you for sharing. I actually have some edge cases here. And so my question for you is, this does definitely seem to be about updating inventory. Are there complementary tools that would send data back from Folio into the system, or is that just not a use case for this workflow at all? We have a project where we're building a pipeline from Folio to Wikidata right now, and I was just wondering if there's any efficiency in leveraging a tool like this as a starting point for some kind of workflow like that. Of course, it's like a reverse workflow.
Yeah. So we are having a project. The contract is not signed yet, but where it's also to go back again. So you can say almost close to some doing some round tripping. So here we are also planning to use mod inventory update and the UI inventory import interface. So it's definitely something we are thinking about, and will be. Working on if the project is going to, but yeah.
Mod inventory update only takes care of one direction. But
yes.
So to make it bi-directional, you have to build the other direction, but sure. And it has some challenges because you risk getting things back that you just sent because if it's triggered by updates, so that's you have to be careful that you don't make it eternal feedbacks. But if I understand you, Christy, then you're talking about data come from one system into mod inventory stores and then on to a third system.
Yeah.
Oh, so you, yeah. It's okay. Opposite way. You want it to go from Folio to a destination source. Is that?
Yeah. Into Folio and then out again to something else.
Okay.
Yeah. What we are looking at is bidirectional into Folio and then maybe back again. And that's why you have the challenges with the you want to avoid eternal feedback. But that's beside your use case, as far as I understand, Kristen.
At the very end of this slide deck, sorry for scrolling like this. I did a little, as a librarian and product owner, I can do a little free drawing here. So a conceptual drawing of how the share VDE could benefit from using this more complete workflow here compared to that they have used the Mod Inventory Update APIs right now, and only the ones they especially were interested in. But maybe it can be getting BitFrame records into inventory might be easier than some of these pre-projects we all of us have been involved in during the past couple of years. But again, this is very just me thinking out loud here.
Looks right to me. Yeah.
Sorry?
It looks right to me. That should be good. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
So I just have one question about that. I don't quite understand why you would have to transform the RDF to Mark XML if you had a mapping from the RDF MaxML to inventory. Can it just, why would you
Yeah.
have to?
No,
Why would you
you
have to
don't.
go to Mark XML?
No, you don't. You can totally go straight. It's only that if you already have this pipeline that takes your RDF to Mark XML, and we know we have a pipeline that takes Mark XML into inventory XML, then you could concatenate those two pipelines. But it makes more sense to go straight and have fewer steps for sure, if you have that.
We improved my drawing by calling it like this, Nancy.
Well, I mean, it depends on the place, obviously, but
Okay. But thank you.
okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
So there has been a little chat, and Jen will now check with TC if the TC wants to do a review of UI inventory import. And
Yeah,
if
I think the
so, then
answer is yes.
they
So,
want.
yeah, we are doing the UI modules. I think there was confusion because Product Council was only doing certain, but we do all of them. Yeah.
Okay. I'll write it up this afternoon then, and then because. We really want to have it in for Trillium, but we still have time. I think the deadline is mid-March or something. But yeah, I'll get it into you.
It's really exciting.
It
If
sounds
that didn't
good.
come
Thank
across
you.
in all my questioning, I just wanted to say it's really exciting.
Yes,
Thank you.
thank
Thanks.
you. Thank you so much, both of you. That is interesting.
And hopefully it can
And
be
I'm glad I
useful.
asked you.
It was excellent timing, Nancy. But I really hope that this can be, something we can use in a much beyond GBV and the German libraries networks use, and maybe be a way for us to jumpstart more, more work, get more, get yeah, so it can be easier for us to get the BibFrame data into portfolio inventory storage.
There is a desire from, for instance, from our DevOps to be able to use the configurations you do, the map, mark mappings you do in data import, to use those mark mappings and apply them to JSON through mod inventory update to get them imported through mod inventory update. So that's one possibility or enhancement of a new kind of channel into the module, and that would require, like you asked about, a new step type, a JSON step type. So that's something to maybe play with using those mark mappings.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank
It's
you.
wonderful to see the flexibility of Folio really exploited in this process where we can see many ways to get data in. So thank you so much. The recording will be posted to the notes, and then we meet next again on February 17th at 1 Eastern. But I'll post to the Slack to be sure. Thank you so much, Charlotte and Niels. I really appreciate it. And thanks everyone for being here. We'll see you next time.
Hi, have a nice
Okay.
weekend.
You too.